What is great to be here in Suzhou, China, worshiping Christ like this. Isn't this amazing? This is amazing. This is so special. Thank you so much for the worship team, for you all do such an amazing job every week. We are so happy. Thank you so much. I'm excited today because we're now getting into the book of Revelation. We spent the last 3 weeks laying down a foundation for the book of Revelation. Now we're kind of getting into the book of Revelation. And it reminded me of a family that had a hard time trying to figure out the book of Revelation. I saw this online. And here is the... is this working here? Here's the... The clicker won't work. Can we... get a new clicker or maybe a battery or there's the meme I saw. Yep, there's the Simpsons, the all-American family. When understanding the end times, this book doesn't have any answers. This sounded like Homer, didn't it? That actually sounded pretty good. Yeah, a lot of times you read the book of Revelation, you go, this book has no answers. It's all confusing. That's because most people haven't taken the time to look back in the book of Daniel and other passages in the New Testament to understand the foundation on which the book of Revelation rests. When we do, the book of Revelation then becomes much more understandable. I want to review to you just quickly about the last few weeks. If you go to the next slide here, the PowerPoint person back there, can you advance it one more? Okay, well, we'll just... Yeah, there you go. Yes. This is a medical biology flip chart of a human being, of a man. And there are several layers to this flip chart you can order. You can order this online. It's a teaching device. One vellum has just the bones of the body. The next vellum that overlays it has all the muscles in the body. The next vellum that overlays that has the digestive system. And it goes on and on. And there's like 10 sheets to this thing. And it's actually real cool because at the very end, you can get this incredible picture of an incredible understanding of a human being and the different layers that are found in this teaching device. Well, that's the way God has set up when understanding the end times. He set up many vellums or many layers that overlap on top of each other, giving us a more understanding, gives a clear vision of the Antichrist and the end times. And it goes all the way back to the book of Daniel. And book of Daniel lived 2,600 years ago. And he came out with four major visions. And we talked about the four major visions. And in these major visions, they'll have different kingdoms, succeeding different kingdoms. And in chapter 9, it talks about Daniel's 70 weeks, or 70 sets of seven. And we can understand from the book of Daniel that the 70 sets of seven refers to 7 years, and 69 sets of 7 years have already been completed in the death of Christ, which was predicted accurately to the year, actually 4 days before Christ was crucified. There's still one more set of seven waiting to be completed for the fulfillment of Daniel's visions of the end times. And that last week is called the tribulation period, this last 7 years. And Jesus spoke about this time also. And we discussed that last week. In Matthew 24, Jesus said the end times, it's going to be disastrous. There's going to be false Christ. There's going to be earthquakes, famines, pestilence. Not going to be good. Jesus also talked about in Matthew 24 about the coming rapture. This is also picked up by the Apostle Paul in 2 Thessalonians chapter 4. We talked about that. What is the rapture and when does the rapture occur? The rapture is a time when Jesus comes at the second coming and takes people up off the earth to meet him in the clouds. That's what the rapture is. And it's very clear in 2 Thessalonians chapter 4. We discussed this. 2 Thessalonians chapter 4 last week. It's very clear that the rapture occurs at the second coming of Jesus. When Jesus comes, many saints will come with him in the heavenlies from heaven, and then those who are on earth will be raised up with him in the heavens. That's called the rapture. And this rapture occurs at the second coming of Jesus. What happens? What precedes the second coming of Jesus? We saw that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. The Antichrist sets himself up in the temple in Jerusalem. He stops the sacrificial system there, and he sets himself up as God. He proclaims that he is God and the world is to worship him. That's when the second coming occurs. Now, some of us may get understandably concerned. Are we getting near the end times? That's a pretty big question, and it's an obvious question. And I don't think we're getting near the end times, because you need a Jewish temple that has a sacrificial system for the Antichrist to come over and kind of stop and then set himself up as God in it. There is no temple right now. Where the temple rests, where the Jews had the temple resting, is on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. That was destroyed in 70 AD and has not been rebuilt. And right now, there's two of the three most holy spots for the faith of Islam is right on the Temple Mount. And I don't think the Muslims are going to give over the Temple Mount to the Jews because the Jews are nice people. They are nice. They are nice, but I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon. Outside of a complete miracle of God, outside of God's hand, that's just not going to happen. So when we see the Muslims giving over the Temple Mount to the Jews and the Jews started erecting the temple, then we can start thinking, okay, we're probably now coming near the end times. But until then, let's enjoy Jesus right now. Does that sound good? But we also be given the book of Revelation to understand, and it is an amazing book to understand. And I have a booklet here that I made up. This is the notes for this entire series from Daniel all the way through Revelation. There's about 20 more copies in the back pew, and I think it's in a green bag, or it's in a bag back there. Pick up a copy of this if you like, because this is all the notes. If you missed a Sunday or you missed a previous Sunday, this is all the notes in it. This is a good work. This is fun stuff here. So I'm going to jump into Revelation chapter 1. Oh, Nick, did we get a clicker at all? Oh, no clicker today. That's okay. I'll just cue the person back there to Judy to help us. Okay, chapter 1. We're looking at chapter 1 in Revelation, and we're going to start off with Revelation chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. Are you ready with that back there? I'm just going to read them. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants, things which must shortly take place, and he sent and signified by the angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ to all things that he saw. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. So, this is a revelation of Jesus Christ. That's the first five words in the book of Revelation. This is not a revelation of the Apostle John. The Apostle John didn't just like imagine this. This is a revelation given to him by God. And it says in verse 3 that we are blessed if we read it. That's pretty cool. It continues, verse 9 through 11. I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. So John is on the island of Patmos. The question some of us might have is, well, where is the island of Patmos? And I have a picture where the island of Patmos is. It is actually located on the western shores of Turkey. And it's a prison colony island. And there, John was sentenced to die. Tradition has the Emperor Domitian actually, well, either poisoned him or boiled him like a French fry in oil, but he lived. So he no longer had the death sentence against him. So they sent him to this prison colony, this prison island called Patmos. And there he was to live out the remaining of his life. And that's when he had this great revelation given to him by Jesus Christ. This revelation, the book of Revelation, was given to the seven churches that are in the western parts of modern-day Turkey, to the churches that were in Ephesus and Smyrna and Pergamos and Thyatira and Sardis and Philadelphia and Laodicea. When John heard this voice speaking to him, this was Christ speaking to him. We continue here in Revelation chapter 1, verse 12 through 14. And that reads, "Then I turned to see the voice that spoke to me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters." Now, it's interesting here. John heard a voice a few verses here earlier. He said it sounded like a trumpet, and he went around. He turned around and then saw Jesus Christ. He saw seven golden lampstands, which represented the seven churches that he's supposed to send the letter to. And I find it fascinating that the voice of God didn't sound just like a trumpet and also sound like words, because he understood these words. It also sounded like many waters. Now that's interesting. Like what would that actually like sound like? A voice that speaks to us that also had many waters mixed in with the words. I'm not sure, but I was reminded of a story when creating the movie Prince of Egypt, the cartoon Prince of Egypt, one of the singers, one of the vocalists, was in this think tank room with a whole bunch of producers for the show, and they're trying to figure out what is the voice of God going to sound like? Like, because they're going to reenact Moses coming to the burning bush, and like, well, what do we make God sound like? And they're like, you know, I guess ominous and I guess godlike, whatever that is. And then he remembered from Revelation chapter 1, one of the vocalists there, he says, you know, it says in Revelation 1 that the voice of God also sounds like many waters. And so they put that into that show, The Prince of Egypt. Actually, it's real cool. Check it out. So the in review here, chapter 1, John was on the island of Patmos. He's in the, it was a Saturday. It was the Lord's Day back then. And he heard a voice that sounded like a trumpet speaking to him, and it was Jesus Christ. It was the Alpha and the Omega. And Jesus Christ told him about this revelation he's going to give to him and give it to the seven churches. That's chapter 1. Chapter 2 is what that revelation, a prophetic word, a prophetic paragraph for each of the seven churches. We're not going to go into that. It is a great read. I encourage you to read Revelation chapter 2 and 3. Each church received a prophetic word for commendation, but also for correction. After that goes chapter 4, we have some scenes in heaven with some angels singing. That's really cool. And then we get into chapter 5, which is where we are revealed, if you will, what a scroll with seven seals. Revelation 5, verse 1 through 5 reads this. It says, "And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loosen its seals?' And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it." Verse 4, "So I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, 'Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loosen its seven seals.'" So here's John. He has a vision of heaven, and here comes this scroll with seven seals on it, and no one was worthy to open it. And he started crying. He was like, this is wrong. This is a tragedy. And then he was told by one of the elders in heaven, "Do not weep. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, the Lamb of God, he is worthy to open the scroll." And we've seen this song here at SIF many times. Worthy is he. Worthy is he. Now, what does the scroll kind of look like? And what do seals kind of look like? So some of us might be a little confused in that. So I got a picture of the scroll. I hope you can find that back there. Judy, can we have the picture of the scroll? Oh, no, next one. Next one. Next one. Other way. There's a seal there, and that's the wrong kind of seal. Next picture, there it is. That's a scroll with seven seals on it. That's what it would kind of look like in heaven. It's a rolled up piece of paper with seven wax seals that keeps the paper from unraveling. And this is a picture of the scroll that John would see, a similar picture, if you will. And in chapter 6, we have the breaking of six of the seven seals. So we're going to go into that. Chapter 6. The first four seals in chapter 6 are the four horsemen. The four horsemen are for seals, the breaking of the seals 1, 2, 3, and 4. We're going to go through these, and a lot is going to be happening here. So seal number 1. Revelation 6, verse 1 and 2 reads, "Now I saw then the Lamb open one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a voice like thunder, 'Come and see.' And I looked, and behold, a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer." Breaking of the first seal, Apostle John was given a vision of a white horse and one who was given a crown to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. Well, who is this individual represented on this white horse? Some might think it's Jesus Christ, but I don't think it is Jesus. Jesus does ride a white horse in Revelation 19, verse 11. And that'll be the next slide, Revelation 19, verse 11. It says, "Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on it, who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war." So Jesus does make war on a white horse. That's in Revelation 19. You go back in Revelation chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. This is not the second coming of Jesus. This, I believe, is the Antichrist. A crown was given to him. Jesus doesn't need no crown given to him. This is somebody going out to conquering and to conquer and given a crown. We're going to move on now to seal number 2. And verse 3 and 4 reads, "When he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, 'Come and see.' Another horse, fiery red, went out, and it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth, and that people should kill one another. And there was given to him a great sword." The second seal that was broken, John had a vision of a red fiery horse going out from heaven to earth, and had a great sword, and he was to take peace from the earth. Now, I don't know. First of all, when the horses are released from heaven in this vision, the horses don't necessarily run around the earth. The earth is too big. These are symbolic images of the reign of the Antichrist. And here we have the second horse taking peace from the earth. I don't know if that peace is the Holy Spirit or an angel or something. It was something supernatural, but he removed that barrier of peace, and the result was people started murdering one another. That's not good. And that's only the second seal. We're going to move on now to the third seal. It says here in Revelation 6, verse 5 and 6, it says, "When he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, 'Come and see.' So I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, 'A quart of wheat for a denarius, and three quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine.'" The breaking of the third seal released a black horse, and the rider of the black horse had scales in his hand, and he pronounced a famine on the earth. He said a quart of wheat will be sold for a denarius. Three quarts of barley will be sold for a denarius. A denarius back in New Testament times is equivalent to one day's wage. So people are now going to work just for food all day and not that much food. This is a worldwide famine that's going to hit the earth. In Matthew 24, verse 7 and 8, Well, that's the next slide. It says, for nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Jesus predicted in Matthew 24 that in end times, there's going to be famines. There's going to be hard times are going to hit the earth. And at this point, probably worldwide panic has now set in. Again, this is not for the near future. This is off in some distant future. It's not going to happen right now, but we are blessed. We read the book of Revelation, and we're blessed as we start to understand the book of Revelation. So in review of the four horsemen, you have the white horse that brought in conquering and to conquer. The second was the red horse brought in no more people murdering one another. The third horse, the black horse, brought in famine on the earth. And then the fourth horse, and this is when it gets really bad, when you break the fourth seal. Revelation 6, verse 7, 8 talks about the breaking of the fourth seal, and it reads, when he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the living of the fourth living creature saying, come and see. So I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And the name of him who sat on it was Death and Hades followed with him. And power was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with the sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beasts of the earth. When the fourth seal breaks, a pale horse is going to come, and it's bringing death and Hades, and a fourth of the world is killed. I have a next slide here. This is not Hollywood Clint Eastwood Pale Rider movie, although a fine cowboy movie. This is not Hollywood. This is one quarter of the world dying. If the world right now is about 8 billion people, that means 2 billion people die during this breaking of the fourth seal. This is part of the reign of the Antichrist. He does not come to bring a covenant of peace. He comes to bring a covenant of disaster and destruction and sorrow. During the killing of one-fourth of the world, this will include Christians and non-Christians. People of faith and people not of faith. I think this is one of the reasons why Jesus calls us in Luke 21, verse 36. That's the next slide. Read this and think about this. Jesus tells us about this, if you will, in advance. He says, watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Jesus in Luke 21 is talking about the end times. And he says, watch therefore and always pray that you may be counted and considered worthy to escape all the things that will come to pass. I pray this verse every single day for all of us here. I do. I've been doing this for about I don't know how long now. And praying this for my family and praying this for my extended friends and family. I'm praying that we would be counted worthy to escape all the things that will come to pass because Jesus told us to pray this way. And it's, and when I was working on this message, I got kind of sad. I had to actually stop and be like, Lord, this isn't good. This is a quarter of the world. And I asked the Lord, how does this work? What's the answer to all this? And I felt the Lord put this verse upon my heart, and that's the next one is, all these are but the beginning of birth pains. Now, have you ever given birth to a child? Have you ever been in the room with a woman giving birth to a child? You don't forget that. It's not pretty. Not pretty at all. In fact, my wife, when we had the first child, she was having labor pains. She would just grab the sink and go, oh, and she's standing in front of the sink in the bathroom, standing up. She's like, oh, the pains are hitting her. And then the pains subside. And then she finishes putting her makeup on. She's like putting her lipstick on. And she's, I'm going to get pictures. I'm going to look good. Well, you know what? It's just when you give birth to a child, it's just not going to look good. It's just, You can see the girl in the picture, you know, she's lipstick on and she has makeup. She actually looks pretty good, but it's not going to be pretty. And God's just saying to me, it's not going to be pretty. But this is the beginning of birth pangs. This is the end times. Okay. So this is the end of the four horsemen. We broke through four of the seals. We're going to go now to the fifth seal. And the fifth seal is a little bit different. This is Revelation chapter 6, verse 9 through 11. It's the scene of heaven, of people, and the altar of God. And it says here, when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? Verse 11, then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer, until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren, who would be killed as they were, was completed. So the breaking of the fifth seal, John then had a prophetic image of souls in heaven under the altar of God, and they're like, God, how long are you going to put up with the planet Earth? They're doing horrible things to people. Judge them. And God's like, hold on. And God gives him a little R&R, gives him new clothes. He, hey, can I have to wait? Have to wait until the suffering, the murdering of your brethren is to a certain number. That's kind of sad, right? Like, wow. Okay. We reviewed this verse last. We talked about this verse last week, Matthew 20, verse 24, verse 22. Jesus says that unless those days were shortened, no flesh should be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Now, Jesus will shorten those days. But those days are set by God Almighty. And some theological disciplines on end time eschatology, they talk about how all the Christians will be raptured up into heaven before the tribulation period begins. I don't think that's what is in Scripture here. And Daniel chapter 7, verse 21 and verse 25 talks about the Antichrist waging war against the saints. And again, here in Matthew 24, it talks about this. And also here in Revelation chapter 6, in the breaking of the fifth seal, saints will suffer. They just will. And this isn't something new. Saints have suffered for Christ for 2,000 years. I'm here to give you what the Bible says, the Bible teaches. And the Bible teaches that Christians have suffered for 2,000 years. And they're also going to suffer in the end times also. And when is all this suffering going to stop? We read about this in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. That's the next slide. Yeah, there it is. Nice. It says, then he, the Antichrist, shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. That's 1 7-year period. But in the middle of the week, he shall bring to an end the sacrifice and offering system there. The days of the Antichrist are already numbered. It's been numbered way back 2,600 years ago. That in the middle of the 7-year period, it's all going to stop. It's all going to stop. And this brings us to the breaking of the sixth seal, because this is when it all stops for the Christians. This is the second coming of Christ. The sixth seal, Revelation 6, verse 12 through 17 reads, I look, then he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth, as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. Verse 14. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. And the kings of the earth and the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man hid themselves in the caves and the rocks of the mountains. Verse 16, and said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come. Who is able to stand? This is the second coming of Christ. We have people on earth, poor, rich, important, not important, whoever's left on that planet, they're like, hide us, because they see the Lamb of God. And they see the coming judgment of God, and this is the second coming of Christ, the breaking of the sixth seal in the book of Revelation. Jesus talked about this in Matthew 24. He talked about his second coming. We read this last week. I want to review it again real quick here. Matthew 24, verses 24 through 30. Jesus taught this. He says, "For false Christs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and miracles to deceive even the elect, if that were possible. See, I've told you ahead of time." Verse 27. "For as lightning that comes from the east is visible even to even in the west, so the coming of the Son of Man." That is, no one's going to miss it. Everybody's going to see the coming of Jesus. Verse 29, "Immediately after the distress of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken." Verse 30, "At that time the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the nations of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory." Jesus talked about his second coming. He says it's going to come with signs. And the sun is not going to be a sign. The moon's going to be, moon won't give us light. The stars will fall from the heaven. The heavenly bodies will be shaken. And he's going to come. And this is also referenced here in Revelation chapter 6. Verse 12 through 17, talking about, and again, Jesus talks about the sun becoming black like sackcloth, the moon becoming like blood, the stars of heaven fall to the earth as a fig tree drops its late figs, and when it's shaken by a mighty wind. This is the second coming of Christ. And this is when at the second coming of Christ, all the Christians that are left on the planet will then be raptured into heaven. And they're not going to experience all the destruction that's going to come after the breaking of the sixth seal. That means the trumpets and the bowls of destruction in the book of Revelation, that's not going to be on anybody who's a Christian. That's going to be the judgment upon mankind. And we'll talk about that next week. But I have can we go to next slide? Yeah, great, that's it. This is a picture of the final 7 years, the tribulation period of the end times. And the tribulation period is broken up in two halves. The first half is the reign of the Antichrist. And the breaking of the seals 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 occurs in the reign of the Antichrist. And it says in Matthew 9, verse 27, that in the middle of this tribulation period, the seven-year period, the Antichrist is going to set himself in the temple as God. He's going to stop the sacrificial system, set himself as God, and then in response, Jesus is going to come down and put the Antichrist into the abyss. Now, we're going to talk about that a little bit more as we get into the book of Revelation, but this is what God has determined in his word how the world is going to end. He prophesied this 2,600 years ago through Daniel. And then he re-prophesied this through Jesus in Matthew 24, and then also Paul in his books in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And then also here in Revelation. God wants us to know this. And we're blessed if you read this. But again, I don't think we're going to be near the end times because the temple has not been rebuilt yet. When the temple gets rebuilt, then we'll look at this, you know, you can look back in our notes and start praying a lot. Anyways, this all makes sense to y'all? You following here? And this is why we had to go back to Daniel and Matthew and Thessalonians to lay the foundation. Now we can understand the book of Revelation with much greater clarity. Let's close a word of prayer here. Lord, I want to say thank you so much for your word. Because in your word, you've told us way in advance about the end and how the end's going to happen, Lord. and that you have it all in control. And Lord, thank you that you have our lives right now in control. And Lord, in thinking about your judgment and thinking about your kingdom and thinking about, Lord Jesus, you in sovereign control over everything, Lord, we as a body of believers this afternoon, we give our lives back over to you, Jesus. You're in sovereign control of our lives also. Lord, please forgive us of our sins, but also please guide us as we are getting closer to the end times. But help us know how we're to serve you now in our family, in our schools, in our workplaces, wherever you take us, Lord, that we can honor you right here and right now. And again, thank you, Lord, that you have all these things already all pre-planned for us, and we give you glory. And these things pray in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.